Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of the Israelite Way of Life. But more than anything, this is a day that the Most High has made for us to worship and set aside to be Kodesh, for Him to be worshipped. I am Elder V. Israel, and it is indeed an honor to be able to say to you this morning, Kwam Yasharala. Rise, Israel. Rise, Israelites, for we are truly waking up in vast numbers. And this is the time that was spoken of and prophesied. It is truly an exciting time. There is a dark day that's coming, a day of separation, but it's also a time of the calling of the remnant and the waking up of those that are desiring to draw nigh to the Most High and to know His hand and to know His truth and to walk in His light. Not the deception that we were driven into our forefathers through their disbelief and their disobedience, as spoken of in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. But for those of you who understand the covenant and are keeping these commandments and coming back to the laws and know what sin really is, which the book of 1 John tells us, sin is transgression of the law. Which is why on the Shabbat, the seventh day, we talk about the laws as we come back to our culture. Israelites, Hebrews, scattered diaspora, 12 tribes. This is all about our culture, and that's what we are here to appreciate and celebrate our culture. The Most High is truly good to Israel.
Shabashamayam Kwadash Haya Shakam Ahaya Malakwanawa Zamba Arat Zamawa Haya Isha Barat Kawahaya Bashamaya Lefela Nawa Lakam Kayawa Well, what's a lot now? Come, what's up now? Cause I love now. Come up, you know. Walla, Samba, ya, now. When I saw you one of the how washing now, may you recall now. Ah, Malakwa, Wahala, Wahata Para, La Awalam Ya.
Wada Abba. Amen.
Let's go before our Father in prayer. Our Abba, which art in Shemayim, Kodesh be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemayim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. And as David would pray, purge me with hyssop so that I shall be white as snow. He also said, renew a right spirit within me and restore the joy of my salvation. It is my prayer that you're encouraged today, despite everything you've gone through. For the 6 days your work week, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And this is your time to celebrate and worship him. We don't work on this day, but if you are, we're still in captivity and we're under grace. If you have to work, then let this be a Kodesh day, a holy day. By not participating in the marketplace where we exchange money with this world. We don't have to do that. I'm not going to get into this argument about work or discussion. Some feel you have to, some feel you can't. Because we're in captivity, it's almost impossible for us to keep all the laws because there's certain people we're supposed to put to death. But because of the death of Christ and his sacrifice, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're not to seek our own pleasure, and we're not to cook. So do what you can to honor this day and honor the Most High and keep it in your heart and your spirit. And let this be a day that's dedicated to Ahaya, the Most High. I know he's been good to you, and you are one that he's pricked and chosen to be awakened and aware of this hour that we're living in. This is not a day where I get into politics or into current events or even into a lot of Bible prophecy, but this is a day where we actually encourage, exhort one another through songs, spiritual songs and hymns, and we read the law, we go through the things of the law, such as they did in the scriptures and even in the New Testament, where people want to tell you that that's all that matters and that the Old Testament was done away with. And we know that that's a lie from the pit of hell, and we have nothing to do with a lie. We'll start by looking at Acts, the 13th chapter. I don't want to delay or belabor the time, as they would say. And it kind of talked about how the disciples kept the Shabbat, the Sabbath themselves, and that was something that we were to continue in. It was the Greeks that began to call us Christians, but they were following the way that Christ established. When every seventh day they went to the synagogue. I'm going to read from Acts, the 13th chapter, starting at the 13th verse. And it says, "Now when Shaul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." We come together on the Sabbath day over the airwaves, the internet, any way we see possible, because we don't have synagogues at some of our places. We're just now coming out of churches. We don't all have a lot of gathering places. Some are meeting in parks, libraries, wherever you are. But if it has to be by airwaves, we come together to sit down and to hear the law, which is a part of our culture. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, so know this, after they went through some of the laws, they would also go through the Tanakh, things that were given to the prophets. Don't believe this talk you hear from the Christian church about Micah, Obadiah, and Isaiah, and these other people, Nahum being minor prophets. There's no such thing. Who are you to add minor before a prophet and determine that what they said had lesser value, when there's historical and prophetic and revelational perception in these books that are indicative of the times that we live in right now? Just like the book of Revelations. So no, they're not minor prophets. It's the Tanakh. And they would listen and probably were astounded and bewildered at the prophecies that they were hearing from the prophets in the Tanakh. So after they went through some of the laws, the over 613 laws, they would listen to the prophets. And now the rulers of the synagogue, which would be your elders as of today, sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So after they went through the readings, there would be a time. And I covered this last week, but I love to go open up the show with Acts, the 13th chapter, for you to see this process that was set out when they went to the synagogue. There was a time for one to stand up and be able to exhort those that came to hear and encourage them. And remind them and put them in remembrance of how great Ahayah really is. And that's what we do on this day as well. Then Shaul, he was the first one to stand up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Yasharel, ye that fear Ahayah, listen to me. The Most High of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Mitzrayim. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges, about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king." The people desired a king. "And Ahiah gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised unto them Dawid to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found Dawid, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath Ahiah, according to his promise, raised unto Israel Yeshaya, a savior. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as Yochanan fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to even loosen. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth Ahia, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Shabbat day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, not the cross, and laid him in a sepulcher. But Ahia raised him from the dead. Ahia raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, Ahia hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Yesha again, as it also was written in the second Psalms, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on the wise, I will give you the sure mercies of Dawid. So, these were the exhortations of Shaul, putting in the minds of the people the remembrance of the fact that the prophets were to be read and spoken of, but also the prophecy of the Savior, of our Savior, Yesha, and how it was spoken of in the book of Psalms. Even in the 42nd verse, we see, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them on the very next Sabbath. And now when the congregation was broken up, they had all scattered and went their separate ways. And when they got together for the very next Sabbath, there were more Gentiles there that were excited. And the Israelites were jealous because the Gentiles were coming in strong folds. But I say all this to point out that the Sabbath is where the exhortation took place, the reading of prophecy from the prophets, and the reminding and remembering and reading of the laws. That's what this day is for, and that's what we come together to do. We don't celebrate sun worship on Sunday. Sunday people gather is because they've been taught that from the Catholic Church, who instilled that their word was stronger than the word of the Most High. And they decreed that the first day be the day of worship, trying to get us to make a mockery and desecrate the word of the Most High that said the seventh day, the day of rest, is the day that we're supposed to worship. This is what the disciples continued in. And this is where the multitude of the Gentiles began to pour in, because the people did not have what you have, the luxury of having scriptures in your pocket, in your briefcase, and carried with you. Scrolls had to be read to them. They had to come out to hear the reading of the scrolls as it was published daily. So we come together to remember the Most High has done for us and to hear the reading of the scrolls. Before we move on to the reading of the law that we're going to cover today, we're going to take another break to stay in a worshipful attitude of what today is all about. We rejoice because we know that we're living in a time that has been prophesied, and we're being allowed to see the fall of Babylon. Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to the end of the Gentile rule, and we're moving forward. Shalom Barakathah, brothers and sisters. Let's move into the laws as we go into the next phase of this particular lesson. We're going to get into some of the laws. I wanted to talk about the mezuzah. Scripture says, and you shall write the words that I command you today on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And you can find that in Deuteronomy 6:9 and also 11 and 19. Now, on the doorposts of traditional Israelite homes and dwellings, and many you find a small case like the one, there's a very small case that is commonly known as a mezuzah, because it's placed on the doorposts of most homes during that time. And what was inside of it was a very small scroll with the writing of the laws that was kept on it. Many of us don't do this today, but it was a practice we used to keep. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. That was a passage known as the Shema, which is Hebrew to hear from the first word of the passage. And in that passage, the Most High commands us to keep his words constantly in our minds and in our hearts, among other things, to write them on the doorposts of our home. This is a constant reminder for you when you do something like this, when you begin to keep the laws and his words and the Torah all around your home. You got all kinds of probably pictures and idols and statues in your homes, but it's time for us to begin to put things that are reminders in our homes about the word. Put that on your refrigerator, on your door before you walk out, in a frame. Let it hang so that we can be in remembrance of the Torah and the laws. And not only that, it lets people on the outside and on the inside know. It's a constant reminder of the presence of a higher being in your home, around your home, and throughout your home. I am the word, and the word was. So when you got that word affixed to your home, you actually bring that presence there into your home if you are respecting and reverencing and keeping the commandments of the Most High. Now, the mezuzah is not, as some suppose, a good luck charm, and it doesn't have any connection with the lamb's blood being placed on the doorpost like they did in Egypt. Like I said, it's a reminder of his presence, okay? Because he now dwells in us. So this is a reminder of the presence that wants to be there. It might help you to remember to keep your body as a temple. So I wanted to point that out before we go into these 10 particular laws that pertain to Ahayah. And the first one I want to talk about is the fact that he says to know that Ahayah exists. That might sound elementary to some of you, but doubt settles into a lot of our brothers and sisters, because we have a lot of them that are coming into this knowledge of truth and turning back to the world like a dog turns back to its vomit, because they begin to doubt the Most High and his existence. So let's look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, the second verse. And it says, Exodus 20:2, I am Ahayah, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And also we want to write down Deuteronomy 5:6, which talks about the fact that we should remember that he exists always and never doubt him. For we must walk by faith, for without faith it is impossible to please him. Number two is not to entertain the idea that there is any God but the eternal Yakad. When you think about that, we should never refer to him as God, because there are many gods in this world. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, tells us whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of them. So when you call the Most High Ahayah God, you relegate him to the status of what many other people are worshiping in their individual gods. But he's the Y-A-C-H-A-D. He is, he exists, he's I am that I am, he's the beginning, the end, he's everything you can fathom and more than you can even try and fathom. So to relegate him to the same level as other gods by calling him God, you do him a disservice. He's every color. He's every vision. He's every dream. He's everything you touch. He's everything you desire to touch. He is the Most High. So we're not to even entertain the idea that there is any other. I even sometimes, we use the Most High. But even to say the Most High is to say that there's some that exist, and this one is the highest. That's food for thought. Because the law and the scripture for this is Exodus 20 and 3. It says, thou shall have no other gods before me. That can be your family. That can be the things that you lust after, money, anything that you worship, anything you figure you got to have. We as Israelites have to be in a disposition where we can do without everything. Just give me a Hayah, and I am content. May His will be done. All praises. This is how we've got to be, willing to walk away from anything and everything at any given moment. And I'm going to get into that in the third part of this lesson as we move into exhortation. But we have to be willing to forsake all. Don't even entertain the fact that there's another. Thirdly, not to blaspheme. Let's look at Exodus 22. 27. Exodus 22 and 27 says, for that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? Make sure I got the right one. Bear with me. Exodus 22 and 27. We actually want to go to Exodus 22 and 28. Thou shalt not revile the Most High, nor curse the ruler of thy people. And the penalty for that was death. Speaks for itself. Number four, it's more importantly for us to also hallow God's name. And when we say hallow, it's to cause it to be set apart, to be Kodesh, and to most of all, respect it. It's to be hallowed. There's something I don't think a lot of us Israelites understand, that when we're unclean or we have fallen in sin, you're not supposed to be mentioning the sacred name of the Most High and using it in any kind of way. Leviticus 22 and 32 points out the fact that neither shall ye profane my Kodesh name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord, which hallow you, meaning I am the Most High, which sanctifies you and sets you apart. When he said, I will be hallowed, let's look in the Hebrew at 69:42. In your Strong's. So that you understand this better. And in the Strong 69:42, you have Kodesh. Some say Kadosh. But it means to make, pronounce, or observe as clean, ceremonially or morally. To consecrate and to dedicate, to set apart, to prepare, to purify. The Most High makes it clear that He purifies us, but we are also to ceremonially lift Him up and set Him apart, which is what we seek to do on the Shabbat, the Sabbath. And I need not tell you that the Most High, Ahayah, is worth it. You go throughout your life and your day for 6 days. Sometimes you don't even recognize Him through those 6 days. We should recognize Him and honor Him every day. But at least on the seventh day, we can understand how gracious and wonderful the Most High is. Number six, to know that Ahayah is one, a complete unity. Look at Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Truly Israel, the Lord our God is one. Truly Israel, the Lord our God is one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 is exactly what that is saying. And that's something that we're supposed to repeat, that we got together and we would say this all the time. I want to read Deuteronomy, Iekra, the 6th chapter, all the way down to 4 and 5 before we get there. And it says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which Ahiah commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it, in the different lots that we were going to possess. Even when the southern kingdom got over to the new land, they wanted to be in a new land away from Assyrians so that they could practice these commandments and laws and worship the Most High. The second verse says, that thou mightest fear Ahiah to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days might be prolonged. There is an extension and health to your life by keeping the commandments of the Most High. The third verse, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Most High of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Now, to the Israelites, this is most important text in the so-called Old Testament, the Torah. For Christ himself called the injunction in 6:5 the first and great commandment. You understand that? And so in Matthew 22:36-38, and in Exodus 20:1-17, you see the Israelites refer to Deuteronomy 6 and 4 as the Shema. This is what they call the Shema here, and naming it after the first word in the text. This word means to hear in the sense of obeying. Moses is teaching, Musa taught, not only the priority of belief in one Yah, but also a means to preserve that belief. Now, as time went on, the proper understanding of the Shema with its spiritual implications was no longer grasped by the people. So we know we got into sin. Now, the absence of saving knowledge became a factor in their spiritual downfall, which ultimately led to the deportation of Yasharel, Israel, and the exile of Judah, because we got away from just simply doing and saying the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So there's an importance of the beginning of the show that we talked about, the Shema and the mezuzah, and which is why the Shema should be a part of things affixed to your home so people know. And we keep this because we got away from this and we began to worship and entertain the idea of other gods and began to, I would say, when you begin to entertain other gods, it's almost to the point of doubting that your God exists, because when you know that the Most High exists, you reverence him and you fear him. And when people begin to lose the fear of the Most High, which is the beginning of wisdom, as Solomon told us, fear of the Most High is the beginning of wisdom. Matter of fact, that is one of the laws. It says to fear him reverently. And we see that in Deuteronomy 6 and 13, that you are to fear him with reverence. I don't like people calling these preachers and these churches reverent, because they're not to be revered or feared. They're simple men that are supposed to be serving the people, not lording over the people. But we already know it's pagan and it's corrupt, and we don't follow those practices. Deuteronomy 6 and 13 says, thou shalt fear the Most High, Ahiah, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. I want to move to the 9th one, which is important to me, because a lot of us do this unmistakably, unknowingly. We were commanded, one of the statutes and laws, to not put the word of the Most High to the test. you are not to put his word to the test. I want to be emphatic about it, which is why I paused. And that simply goes into Deuteronomy 6 and 16, which says, ye shall not tempt the Most High, Ahayah, as ye tempted him in Massah. Now, Christ quoted part of the verse 13 and Deuteronomy 10 and 20 in response to one of Satan's temptations. You find that in Matthew 4 and 10 and Luke 4 and 8. In fact, the early part of this book, which was spoken of by Musa while Israel was still in the period of her wilderness wanderings, formed the basis of all three of Christ's response to Satan. Thou shalt not tempt the Most High. Matthew 4 and 7, Luke 4 and 12, we can find that. And that came from Deuteronomy 6 and 16. Now, so why would they tell you that the Old Testament is done away with when you have Christ quoting the so-called Old Testament when Satan came to tempt him? What's good for Christ is also good for us, since we are to follow his example. And if his example was to quote the Torah to tell Satan where he belongs and put him in his place. So you let people tell you that the commandments are done away with, but yet Christ used the Torah and the commandments to put Satan in his place? So the fact of the matter is, if we don't come back to learning these laws, then we have nothing to fight with. Because your sword is the Torah. Your salvation is the Torah. The gospel is the Torah. This is what pushes the enemy away, when you understand these laws and you live them and you reverence the Most High and our covenant with him and our pact. Yes, when Christ comes, there'll be a new covenant that he will establish, because he's coming back to take care of this sinful, wicked world. Not even just Babylon. He's coming back to deal with this entire earth. So know that, let me get back to the point, that not only did Christ use this, but also we're not to put the word of the Most High to the test. We're not to tempt him. So you don't just go around saying, let me see if this works. You don't put yourself in dire situations in jeopardy. And Satan always wants to misconstrue and test the word and twist the scriptures to mess you up. Let's learn to reverence and respect the Most High and his word and where it belongs. Let's take a small break and we'll come right back after this break.
Listen, I'm a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham. I ain't no Egyptian, I ain't no Muslim, I ain't no Kabbalist, and I definitely ain't no African. Why you all up in Islam? You ain't Arab, you're a Hebrew. Man, it's getting crazy everywhere I look. I see you, some of y'all say you Egyptian. You can't read the hieroglyphics, you don't know what they really say. That makes you religious, cuz you just believe in what you heard was right. So why you mad at me for saying I'm an Israelite? When I can read the Hebrew, I can see right through you. You want your identity, but you don't wanna be who you are. You wanna shine, you wanna travel around with the philosophy and history you think you found. But all your dates are carbon dated, and we know that's all. So what's the point of all your math when your equation is wrong? Come on, you ain't Egyptian. You ain't no Muslim. You ain't no African. Come on.
Everything, but when he made you, you don't understand the gift that he gave you. that way and what gave you that strange impression? You ain't never seen a sign that they care about us. If we're their people, they forgot us, cause they never came and got us. Listen, we ain't the same, we don't act the same way, we don't got the same fear, we don't do the same thing. Just because we got our skin in common, that don't mean we common. Just because you don't receive it, that don't mean you'll stop the bombing from coming. That's why I'm trying to wake you up real quick and take your mind out that reprobate state is in. You say we've been here for billions of years, but can't prove it, yet we still can't cure the common cold. Come on, man, that's stupid.
Listen, you ain't Egyptian.
Oh, oh, no, you're
you ain't
not
Muslim.
Let it go, let it go.
You ain't
yeah.
African.
Oh,
come on, get it right,
get it right.
You are Hebrew Israelite. Shabbat Shalom to my brothers and sisters. This is the day of worship. We look to the Most High and we honor him, for he's Kodesh. So begin to know who you are. Keep preaching and prophesying and proclaiming this Torah, brothers and sisters. These Christians are asking questions, leaving these churches in droves, and the ones that stopped going to church are starting to recognize what time it is and what's going on. Wherever you are, hold up this truth, this Torah, and live in it. We've read the laws, and we're doing like they did in Acts, the 13th chapter. We are moving into the time of exhortation, but before we move into that, we want to read from the prophets. I want to read from the book of Ezekiel. And the book of Ezekiel makes us think about personal accountability. So let me holler at you Israelites right now. My brothers and sisters, the scattered diaspora. Ezekiel 33:10 says, "Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, as they are today, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Our responsibility is to say unto them," the 11th verse, "say unto them, as I live, saith the Most High, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." Understand this. Let me pause right there. He said, "I don't have pleasure in the death of the wicked." And he goes on to say, "But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression." So let me pause right there at the 12th verse. We got a lot of our brothers and sisters that's living in their righteousness because they're trying to fulfill every aspect of the law. But don't think that that's what's going to get you in, because your righteousness is as filthy rags. The Most High said, "I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy." We're being chosen because he made a promise to Abraham that a seed would make it. It's not because of what you're doing, so we don't live by works. We live by obedience and fear of the Most High. We honor his commandments. There are many benefits that come with keeping these commandments, as many of you know. But as we walk in our culture, which is why we walk in these commandments, let me finish the 12th verse. The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his unrighteousness shall not be remembered. So therefore, the prophet is saying that you're being self-righteous and putting trust in your righteous, and then when you fall, all of that righteousness is gone. It won't even be remembered. It's thrown out. So don't get so caught up into your self-righteousness to where you think you're perfect and that you're infallible, because you're still living under grace. Christ is our Passover. He's our peace. He's our Shabbat. The book of Psalms tells us that a just man falls seven times. There are things that will befall us. So we should be thankful for grace and for mercy and for the death of our brother Yeshua HaMashiach, and that we can still press forward long as we never turn and don't lose our faith. Let me finish what the prophet was saying in the 13th verse. He said, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. So he says the self-righteous brother who does fall, when he does fall, he'll die for that. I'm going to read 13 again all the way through. Ezekiel 33:13. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. A lot of us put more trust in our acts of righteousness than we do in the Most High and Yeshua and Ruach. Ezekiel 33:14. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do not that which is lawful. And you know, when he speaks of that which is lawful, he's talking about justice and judgment, these commandments and these laws. 15. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Do you know that America could be saved if they turned around and gave back everything they stole from us and began to walk in these statutes and commandments and laws? But it's never going to happen because they deny these laws. They try to destroy them. The Ten Commandments they try and take out from everywhere, and they refuse to pay us. They won't even give you the reparations of 40 acres and a mule. They would have to pay back everything they stole from the time of the Temple of Solomon in order to get right. And we know through Psalms 83, all nations have conspired against us. They make a tumult because they know that they have riches now because of what they've stolen from us, including our identity. These people have to give back everything they took from us, repent, and start following the commandments, and they might have a chance. You already know they'll never do it. It talks about that right here in 15. But let's simplify this and bring this down to an individual. Restore your pledge. For those who have fallen away, our brothers and sisters that we need to restore, they have to come back to their pledge. And anything that they have robbed people of, you need to spend the majority of your days paying that back and giving it back. Yeah, you dope dealer that's coming to Christ, you've got things that you need to give back, for you've destroyed a lot of families. You stick up man. Yeah, the rest of your days must be in humility and blessing and giving. I think you all understand what I'm talking about. White collar crimes, everything. When our people come into the knowledge of the truth, trust me, the Ruach will begin to lead them and guide them into the things that they have to do to be pleasing to the Most High and to make it into this kingdom, but not upon self-righteousness. It's a matter of you wanting to give back as much as you can for this grace, mercy, and honor being bestowed upon you. Every one of you Israelites listening to me should be so thankful of the fact that he tapped you on the shoulder and woke you up to the knowledge of this truth when there are many still asleep and going to church on Sunday and worshiping a white Jesus named Caesar Borgia, created by Michelangelo and presented by the Catholic Church, while they have an image of a black Christ and Madonna underneath the Vatican. So much deception in this wicked world. Ezekiel 33:16. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live. The Most High said, I'll forget about his sins if he pays back and restores the pledge and comes to the commandments. Ezekiel 33:17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Most High is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal. 18. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. This is why we exhort each other, because for you to wake up and then turn from this truth and go back to a Christian church or go back to some wicked ways, You just signed your death certificate. It's written right here. It's worse than a dog turned to vomit. It says here, ye shall die, and ye will die in what you turn to. Verse 18. I'm going to read it again. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. Verse 19. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Verse 20. Yet ye say the way of the Most High is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. We have a major responsibility to walk in these statutes and laws and to make sure our ways are the ways of Christ, our brother, and the example that he set. We don't go around here copying Shaul, Kaifa, Yachanan, none of the other disciples. Paul's letters are not for the unlearned. They are complicated, but we don't do away with his book. But we know most of these people in this Christian church worship Paul as if he was Christ, which is deception from the Catholic Church. We follow the ways of Christ because he is emphatic in Ezekiel 33 and 20. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one of you, after his ways. So you are being watched to see if you're keeping the Sabbath, if you're paying back, giving back, being humble, and not being self-righteous and thinking you all that because you understand you're an Israelite now. We got some folks that understand they're Israelites and they won't keep these commandments and they won't stop smoking, smoking that chronic, which is a part of pharmakia, because this is genetically modified weed that they're smoking that's got them zonked. He told us to be sober and vigilant. And then you got the other ones that are so locked in trying to keep all these commandments, they're being foolish, not taking care of their families, denying their responsibilities. And he said, occupy until I come, because you're still in captivity. Be a light. You're under grace, Israelites. If the Most High bless you with an opportunity to be able to provide, nurture, and take care of your family, that's what you're supposed to do and not be foolish. So I want to say this. I said this on Straight No Chaser the other night. It comes from Ephesians, the fifth chapter, which said that we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let me encourage you real quick. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We're not supposed to hang with them, and we shouldn't even talk about what they like to do and how they like to kick it. As Israelites, we're not trying to be like the world or these Gentiles that don't follow the ways. For we are the preachers, the teachers, and the examples. For we are the only family that the Most High has ever known in the earth. We are the saints. We're here to show them how to dress, walk, eat, worship, and serve him. But he told us to walk circumspectly, and a lot of people don't understand. To walk circumspectly means to walk cautiously. These are your commandments for the day as soldiers. Hear your marching orders for the day. To walk circumspectly means to walk cautiously and to be watchful and to pay attention to guard against surprise and danger. Circumspectly means to be aware and to be ready for the surprise that President Obama in this world will bring upon you while you're sitting up watching the Boston Marathon and a bomb comes upon you and you just in fear and you begin to doubt the Most High and worry for your life. Shock and awe is what they're all about. We got some perilous times that are getting ready to come upon us. There's going to be some missiles, some bombs, some explosions, some crises, some natural disasters, some heart disasters, third world war, pandemics, everything. All of these things are coming our way. But Ephesians 5, when it says to walk circumspectly, it says to pay attention and to guard your heart against surprise danger, because they want to surprise you because they feel that they can get a new world order out of chaos. So they're going to bring chaos, and there's going to be a multiplicity, a plethora of chaos, I believe, that's going to hit at one time so that the rest of this unbelieving world will ask for a solution to the problem, which is when they'll present to you an antichrist, a false prophet, a belief in aliens from another planet that will bring healing, their so-called healing, and signs and wonders in the air, because that'll be your great falling away as they come to try and
do away with the gospel and the story of Christ and try to tell you that it was something else. Book of Matthew tells us that they'll say Christ is over there, and they're gonna and they'll say, oh, Christ is over here. Come follow him. We've seen him here. We're not the follower. Look, we're supposed to stay rooted and grounded, knowing that our brother is the brother in Revelations who has skin of brass, burnt in an oven, hair like lamb's wool, eyes like fire. We know who he is, and that's why we stand. And we know that we were made in the Most High's image, and he's breathing us. And that when we see Christ, when he comes back to destroy, we shall be changed and be just like him. And we'll go to war with our brother. Right now, we spiritually war. Soon, we'll be in another war. But you got to stand and prepare your heart now and have no fear. Fear not. For the Most High has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Don't lose your mind in this battle. Do not lose your mind in this battle. We've got to stand strong. And when you encourage our brothers and sisters, you can't be soft. You can't be soft with this. We got to let them know what time it is. Let me read the rest of 5 before we go out. Ephesians 5. I want to read all that so that we can learn that we have to encourage each other and be prepared. Ephesians 5, 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest. That means all things that you rebuke and that you show, when you tell your brothers and sisters, it'll be shown to them and it'll come into the light. 13 goes on to say, by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. 14, wherever he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That means awaken, Israel. Kwam Yasharala, wake up so that Christ can show you the truth. You don't have the truth if you're deceived and blinded by the Christian 501c3 church worshiping a pagan false god. You sleep. Wake up and come into the truth. 15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, meaning like you don't even know what time it is or what's going on, and believe this word conspiracy theory. That word was created to keep you from understanding and believing the truth. There's no such thing as a conspiracy theory. What we are agenda analysts, and we analyze the agenda and line it up with scripture, because all that is coming into light has been prophesied in the Tanakh by the prophets. 16 says, redeeming the time. Make full use of the time. That means redeem it, redeem it. Because the days are evil. 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Most High is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, I mean not too much. But be filled with the Ruach, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Most High. And give thanks always for all things unto Ahaya and the Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. The only sure obstacle to truth, brothers and sisters, is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. I am Elder V. Israel. This is a day that the Most High has made, the Sabbath. Enjoy your Sabbath. Keep it holy. Keep praising him. Keep it set aside. Let's follow these precepts. Let's stand. Let's support one another. Let's come together. But he will bring us together when it is the right time. We are one. Shabbat shalom. Kwam Yasharala. Shalom Barakatah.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Oh,
Outer space. show will be waiting there. We are shouting, I will be waiting there. In this world of calamity, dirty looks and judges and jealousy, and police will abuse their majority. Media clowns will not know about variety. Book the youngest veteran, I go murder them slow. Rock them up and send to God from the bush bungalow. I don't watch it make a clear road, my voice nothing a row. Emerge from the darkness with me big blood a low. Me hammer them a slam and spectate and get low. Some boy could have lived like my family got low. Bust off trigger finger, trigger end and trigger low. A two gun me and me bust them in a stereo. Cause I got to keep on walking on the road to Zion.
is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you by my name, and you will never.